How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
By law, 21 plus terms and conditions apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle. It's a new day on FFC all across the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM, channel 159. He is Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens, and still plenty to break down in this month of football. It is July. We count down the days until Saturday when the rookies for the LA Chargers will be the very first to report to training camp around the National Football League. 2 weeks from this Wednesday, Scott, basically everybody around the NFL will have shown up if they intend on reporting to training camp. And of course, 3 weeks from tomorrow, our first NFL football game of the year, albeit a preseason game, but the Hall of Fame game between the Lions and the Chargers. Plenty to get to here on FFC. Some news around the NFL. Big 12 media days continue outside of Dallas as we start our three-week run of college football media days to set our sights on 2025. Plenty to get to in this hour on Football Full Circle.
Yeah, and it doesn't take long to figure out, by the way, who's king of the Big 12 as they got Deion talking last. Like, who wants to come after Deion, right? So right. 3 years in the league, all the controversy, all the whatever you want to say, positive, negative, and you know, there's a reason why they're having him go last talking today in a couple of hours. So, yeah, it's going on right now. Watched a little bit of it yesterday. Got a feel for it. The usual rhetoric, and everyone's great, this, that, what have you. The all-one consolidation on the rules and this and that, and we could break it down a little bit, but this is the time where everything is great. Same thing with football teams, with training camps. Everyone's great. Everyone's going to make a run to the Super Bowl. Let's see if we get all the draft choices under the – there's got to be at least one or two guys that are going to be holding out, right? It happens every single year. New contract dispute. This is when they do it. I really believe, Ben, that ultimately these players, they just don't – I don't think they realistically want a new contract. They'd like to get one. I think it's just they don't want to end their vacation. It's July. Do I want to be out there busting my in the middle of July when I can pretend that I want a new contract and hold out for a couple of weeks and, maybe sacrifice some money? I really believe that's the antithesis behind all this stuff. It's just the impetus, rather, behind all this stuff. It's just, I want to stay on vacation for a couple more weeks.
For sure, especially if you've been doing it for quite some time, as Trey Hendrickson in Cincinnati and TJ Watt, in Pittsburgh have been doing. Those two of the main pieces, of course, that are looking for a new contract entering 2025, which, why right now, Scott, during this off-season summer break around the National Football League, we haven't received all that much news. We're still a few days away from training camp even beginning in our first spot in LA for the Chargers. We're still about 2 weeks away from everybody reporting to camp, when we will see the guys back on the practice turf for the first time in a while. So if you do get news, especially on the injury front, it is not often optimistic. Big reports out of Tampa today around the all-pro left tackle, Tristan Wirfs. Rick Stroud, of course, who covers the Bucs for the Tampa Bay Times, reporting that the Buccaneers are preparing to be without Wirfs for at least the first few games of 2025. Wirfs aggravated a right knee injury in the offseason that forced him to miss only one game last year in 2024, but still dealing with that issue, re-aggravated the injury at a certain point in this offseason. What exactly that injury timetable is, we're not entirely sure, but the Bucs scheduled an arthroscopic surgery for Wirfs yesterday. They went in, found a little bit more minor damage, Scott, in that knee for Tristan Wirfs, who, of course, was an all-pro last year at left tackle, was also an all-pro earlier in his career for the Buccaneers at right tackle, the only guy that can say he has been a first-team all-pro performer at both left and right tackle in NFL history. So this, of course, a big blow for the Buccaneers getting ready for 2025.
Yeah, they're considering putting him on the PUP list, which means, as you mentioned, he's got to miss at least the first four games. You know, the question I would have, Ben, is, you know, if this is the same injury and he just re-aggravated, and obviously it wasn't that severe that he couldn't play. He did play, albeit banged up last year. But still, you know, why did at the end of the season they just say, all right, let's go in and clean it out. Right. Let's take care of it now. We got 3, 4, or 5 months. You know, why wait for the injury to get re-aggravated when you know there was an injury there for the entire season? That's the only thing that doesn't make sense to me now, right? Why would they wait?
For sure. I think that's the natural question, Scott, right? You see that somebody just underwent surgery in the beginning of July when they have had every time since the beginning of February, basically, when the Buccaneers schedule and season came to a close in the middle of January, to reassess and make these determinations. Maybe it's just in the right knee and he injured himself in off-season training. Might not be a re-aggravation, but at least there was a right knee injury last year, and that has been the issue for Tristan Wirfs right now. Could be something new. Could be the addition of an injury that is more significant and serious than anything he was battling through a season ago. But of course, I think that is the natural question from a fan and media perspective. Why have the surgery right now? That kind of leads to the idea that it could have been a new injury. Tristan Wirfs has been sensational in his career in the National Football League. He has been one of those cornerstone stone pieces, Scott, on that O-line, now protecting the blind side of Baker Mayfield. And as you mentioned, the PUP list, the physically unable to perform list, that if you are placed on that, regardless of your timetable, you are set to miss four games to begin 2025. It's tough for the Buccaneers, who play in the NFC South, are the favorites to win the NFC South. Scott might not even have to get the double-digit wins to win the NFC South, as we discussed yesterday. And their schedule is easy-ish compared to a lot of the NFL. But you look at how the season begins for the Buccaneers, some pretty grueling tests from the very start. This is where you need your all-pro left tackle out there. It's just bad news for the Buccaneers, especially at this stage, so late in the offseason, a few weeks before training camp is set to start.
Yeah, and you know, and the other thing, Ben, is, you know, they're one of those teams that, you know, maybe if everything fell the right way, everything would go their way. But, you know, for the most part, they're a playoff team, but can they really beat one of the big boys? You know, probably not. But the one way they could do that, though, is if they have home field advantage, in the playoffs. And when you look at Philadelphia's schedule and Detroit's schedule, you know, those two teams got monster schedules compared to Tampa Bay. Yeah. So it's not the craziest notion in the world to think that the Bucs, if they're playing their A game all season, could actually get, if not the number one seed, but certainly the number two seed, and have just a little bit easier path to being able to beat Philadelphia or Detroit or whoever you perceive as the, you know, the top two, three teams in the NFC, and then maybe Tampa Bay can take that next step. So you don't want to give up games the first few weeks of the NFL season.
No, certainly not, Scott. And it starts with a road trip against their divisional foe to Atlanta against the Falcons to begin. Then a road trip the following week on Monday night against the Houston Texans. Then they get the Jets and the Eagles at home to round out September. Again, not overly difficult, but you have the reigning Super Bowl champs and a division winner on the road in there, and a team that you're going to have to beat in the Falcons to win your division for a fifth straight season. It is always one of those interesting things because the Bucs right now, an even money favorite, plus 100 to win the NFC South for a fifth straight year. And Scott, when you win a division, you have home field advantage at least for that opening playoff game. And as you said, if you can stack up some wins in the rest of the NFC where the NFC North beats up on each other, the NFC East, so on and so forth, you could be in a prime position. The Bucs were the 3 seed last year. It didn't result in paying the dividends they had hoped as they lost in the opening round to Jaden Daniels and the Commanders, but it's always one of those interesting things. Even money to win a division, but 13-1 on Tampa to win the NFC, it's the 8th best price. Theoretically, you're in a great position by just winning your divisional crown to make a deep playoff run if you can find some value on that 13-1 number.
Yeah. And oh, by the way, that Philadelphia game, which would be obviously week number 4 of the 4-week PUP list, I mean, that's huge, right? I mean, if you're thinking Tampa Bay could be that good again, I mean, that's a head-to-head tiebreaker chip in your back pocket that you would have against Philadelphia if you could somehow win that. So I like Tampa Bay. I do, Ben. I think they're a dangerous little team.
Yep. A new OC this year, of course, taking over for Liam Cohen, and Baker Mayfield had a sensational year last year. John Grizzard is that new OC. I believe his name is John. We'll check on the other side of the break. We come back here on Football Full Circle up next on Sports Grid Radio.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Just to clarify, by the way, a new offensive coordinator in Tampa, Josh Grizzard, who takes over for Liam Cohen. Of course, third consecutive year that Baker Mayfield has had a new OC. First, Dave Canales goes to Carolina. Liam Cohen, now the new head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. The 34-year-old Grizzard will be that play caller for the first time, but has worked with the Buccaneers, Scott, since 2021, the passing game coordinator the past few seasons. So a very similar style and system under Liam Cohen is what Grizzard now presents for the Buccaneers. He might start calling his first plays for the Buccaneers, though, without Tristan Wirfs, as we have said. The Buccaneers fear they will miss him for the first few weeks of this year, deciding right now, after Wirfs underwent surgery earlier this week, if they will place him on the PUP list, which would guarantee that Wirfs misses the first few games, the first four games, I should say, of 2025. Of course, Scott, last year, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers winning the NFC South for a fourth time. They hosted the Commanders in round one, wild card weekend of the NFL postseason, got beat at home. It was the start of a historic run for Washington, reaching the NFC Championship game with a rookie quarterback under a first-year head coach in Dan Quinn for the first time for that franchise since 1991. And some news for the Commanders this offseason, paying homage to the old. They will build up at the site of the old RFK Stadium. They are hoping to start that construction in 2026 for the stadium to be complete back in the nation's capital by 2030. And Scott announcing the Super Bowl era alternate uniforms today that, of course, look very similar to what we were used to seeing there for this Washington organization. They will wear it three times throughout the year, and many on social media. We're glad to see these alternate uniforms that pay homage to the past make their way back into circulation.
Yeah, of course. What would the NFL be, or any other sport, without extra uniforms, right? Every right. One of these teams has 5,000 uniforms, but the NFL classic ones are pretty good. It's funny, I'll date myself here, but then Washington used to be one of the most stable franchises. Tom Brookshire, Pat Summerall, Dallas versus Washington, RFK Stadium, right? Then you get new owners, and it was Daniel Snyder, and that thing implodes. Yeah. They get a new stadium. Nobody likes the new stadium. The thought of people not going to a Washington game was unheard of in the 70s and 80s, but that was the case. They alienated all the fan bases. Now they're trying to turn it around with new owners again and building a new stadium. So it's been an unstable franchise, really, for the last 5-6 years. But I tell you what, getting Jane Daniels, though, it's amazing how much you win on the football field. That solves all these problems off the field. So they're in that category, right? I mean, yeah. I don't put them quite in the Baker Mayfield Tampa Bay category, because I think the thing that's holding back Tampa Bay is Baker Mayfield and the perception, well, he's good. He's going to get you to the playoffs, but is he really going to win a Super Bowl? So I don't say that about Jaden Daniels in Washington, because who knows what the ceiling really is for Jaden Daniels. He could be terrific. Yeah. So, but it's another one of those teams where, okay, who can break through? Who can break through Philadelphia and Detroit, really 1-2 punch in the NFC? Is it Washington? Is it Green Bay? Is it Tampa Bay? Maybe the Rams? That's the question for some of these teams. Are they going to be able to build on what they did last year, Washington? That's the question.
Yeah, I think it's a great question, Scott. It really is that main talking point around the Commanders entering this 2025 campaign. When we saw C.J. Stroud and D'Amico Ryans in their first year together in Houston do something very similar, now in 2023, it was the Texans winning a division. It was the Texans winning a playoff game. But of course, coming up short in the division around that year against Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. So the natural question was for Houston last offseason with a ton of optimism and now expectation, could they raise that game? Could they rise to the occasion and make a deeper playoff run? The Commanders got to the NFC Championship game. There's only one more stop, Scott, for this team to improve on, and that would be reaching a Super Bowl. And it's interesting, of course, to be coined that Super Bowl era jersey, because in the 80s and early 90s, that's what Washington had for a level of success. In fact, last year, the Commanders reaching the NFC title game for the first time since 1991, the last time that franchise had won a Lombardi trophy. So we ask, well, what do Jaden Daniels and company have for an encore, and can they improve? Scott, there's really only one way to improve, at least in the be-all, end-all of making a deep playoff run. That's a Super Bowl appearance. Very high standards for a second-year quarterback in Jaden Daniels, but it's kind of the standards that he, under Cliff Kingsbury, under, of course, Dan Quinn, set for themselves entering this upcoming season.
Yeah, and don't forget how they got to the NFC Championship game, winning twice on the road at Tampa and Detroit. Yeah. So it's not even like they had the benefit of the doubt, and maybe they won't get that benefit of the doubt with an easy playoff schedule. I mean, that was as hard as you could get, right? Two playoff or road wins. So it's going to be tough for them, right? Again, it's all predicated to me on Philadelphia kind of coming back to the pack. Will they this season? Otherwise, I still think Philadelphia is better. I still think Detroit is probably a little bit better, even though what, you know, Washington did to them in the postseason. You know, it'd be tough to argue that case, but you know, it's funny. Houston, you know, they didn't go further, but they didn't go backwards. You know, Houston, you know, they had the same amount of wins. Right. They won the division. They won a playoff game. They lost in the second round. I can't help but think if you said that about Washington next year, you'd be like, okay, still pretty good season. You know, get to the NFC Championship game, a little short. You know, working on things. I think most Redskin fans or Redskin Commander fans would, you know, accept that as a positive season. So we'll see. It was a negative season for Houston last year. Will it be a positive season if Washington does the same thing this upcoming season?
Yeah, and Scott, I think one of the reasons it felt slightly negative for Houston, C.J. Stroud was not nearly as good as he was during his rookie year. Part of that was on a dreadful O-line that I'm not sure the Texans improved this offseason. In fact, I think you can argue in trading Laremy Tunsil to where the Commanders actively made worse this offseason. But Houston had all that expectation after the acquisition of Steph Diggs and Daniil Hunter and expecting Stroud to take yet another leap. They ended up winning the AFC South, but they didn't win 13 games and unseat the Chiefs or the Bills or the Ravens like we might have thought they could year to year. But if the Commanders reach that same stage, that's resounding success for a back-to-back year to get to a conference championship game again. We'll talk some more NFC title odds up next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. Scott, I thought you brought up a great point about what is next for the Commanders and really a variety of teams around the NFC, including the first we discussed today in the Buccaneers. There's a lot of teams that could be in great position to make a playoff run once again around the NFC, but I think the prevailing thought is, How do you get through the reigning Super Bowl champion, Philadelphia Eagles? Now, the Birds' price to win the NFC, once again, is plus 370. Backed by less than $2 is the Detroit Lions at plus 550. The Eagles hosted the Commanders in that NFC championship game, but the Lions were the one seed in the NFC. I would say that sexy team right now, the LA Rams, an 8-1 number, third best. The odds makers expecting a bounce back with a now healthy 49ers squad, 9-1 the price on SF. The Commanders, as we listed, at plus 950. The Vikings at 10-1, the Packers 11-1, and the Buccaneers at 13-1. The eight best numbers around the 16 teams in the conference that is the NFC. Ultimately, Scott, not necessarily tying it to the betting prices or the odds, but if you had to pick the two teams playing in an NFC championship game come late January, right here, right now, who would those teams more than likely be in your mind?
Philadelphia, for sure. I just think they're the best team on paper. So unless something crazy happens, distraction, suspensions, fine, we'll be pick injuries. You know, I don't see how the Eagles don't get there, even with a first place schedule. And really, who's the other team? I don't believe in Detroit. Just don't believe in Dan Campbell until they get it done. I just don't believe in them. I like the Rams, and I can't believe I'd ever say that about a Matthew Stafford-led team. It might be the first time I've ever said that. I wasn't a big Stafford fan when he was with Detroit. Give him the credit. They go to the Super Bowl. They win. But, boy, getting Devontae Adams, that is a great, great 1-2 punch. They got Kyron Williams in the backfield. They got it, you know, what I think is a relatively easy division. I don't like San Francisco at all. And, you know, Seattle and Arizona are just, you know, regular football teams. So I'll go Philadelphia and the LA Rams. It's kind of chalky. It is. But I think ultimately those are the two that will be fighting for the championship in the NFC.
Completely agree, Scott. Yeah, I think the Eagles are going to be in the NFC championship game. If you were to ask me right now, pick the NFC representative in Super Bowl 60 out in Santa Clara, I would also say the Eagles. The 49ers trying to get back there. They have been to the NFC title game four of the previous 6 years, but unlike the Eagles, have not reached the Super Bowl and then won that Lombardi Trophy, which of course is what the Birds were able to accomplish a season ago. I do think the Lions will be there, and I do think the Lions will be an interesting betting scenario this year. If I had to pick the NFC Championship game, incredibly chalky to pick the two shortest prices, but it would be the Eagles and the Lions. I don't know if it's worth betting Detroit at this moment at plus 550 to win the NFC Championship. The reason I say that is because I'm a little bit scared by that coordinator regression and the coordinator change and the coordinator drop-off that we have seen, see the Eagles in 2022 to 2023, and what that could mean for Detroit this year. But the roster is largely the same, and that roster is one of the best in the National Football League. So if the coordinator drop-off is not nearly as drastic as some think it might be, and it could. Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn quickly became head coaches, not like they were fired and somebody else was hired. Then I do think the Lions are going to be that team that can be at the NFC Championship game once again. The reason I say, Scott, I wonder what the betting scenario is going to be, is because if the Lions start hot, and it's kind of shown at least initially that they're still really good in the front runner in the NFC, I do think that plus 550 number drops rather quickly once play actually begins.
Yeah, I will say this, though, about that. They got a tough schedule, right? If they get back to where they got last year, boy, it's no fooling around. They play at Kansas City. They play at Buffalo. They got Tampa Bay, albeit at home. They got at Cincinnati. You know, they got at the LA Rams. You got a lot of teams that are like really good teams. Not only are they playing them, they're playing them on the road. You know, that they got it reversed. You know, you want to have those really, really good games at home and then the winnable games, if you will, on the road. And that's how you get a great, great record. Yeah, being at home helps you win those games at Cincinnati, at Baltimore, at Kansas City. That's, you know, I will say the only thing that got going for them is, by the way, at Philadelphia. Forgot about that. You know, they got a lot of these tough ones in the AFC I was going to see, but then I see that at Philadelphia as well. I don't think they're going to get there, Ben. I don't.
Yeah, and Scott, we'll talk more about the strength of schedule for both the Lions, third most difficult, and the NFL, and the reigning Super Bowl champion Eagles, fourth most difficult, up next here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. Scott, you look at the Lions' schedule, it's hard to find some games that you're like, yep, they're going to be a 7.5, 8-point favorite. Maybe their home game week 4 against the Cleveland Browns, a very difficult slate. Third hardest in the National Football League this upcoming year. That's what you would expect out of a first-place schedule for the team that was the one seed in the NFC last season. The Eagles are our reigning Super Bowl champions. They have the fourth hardest schedule around the NFL, which is why I think, Scott, the point that you made about looking at these teams, our two favorites to win the NFC, the Birds plus 370, the Lions plus 550, and how that playoff positioning, the standings could look come late December, early January, is fascinating. The Eagles are a short favorite, same price, plus 370, but further in front of everybody else to be the number one overall seed in the NFC when all is said and done at the end of this year. For the Birds to get there, it's not going to be easy. And oh yeah, there's that certain NFC East curse of trying to win back-to-back divisional championships, which nobody has done in more than two decades now since 2004. It's going to be very difficult for the Eagles and the Lions, even through the regular season, to be back in the same positions as a 15-win team in Detroit and a 14-win team in Philadelphia last year.
Yeah, I tell you, the NFL, oh boy, they make it right, man. They don't make it easy, but they do right by the fans because you have some great games, you know, this year. We'll go back to Detroit here for a second, Ben. Like I was saying in the break, you know, they have it, unfortunately, backwards. You know, they're going to play the AFC North this year. So all the teams are going to play the NFC North out of the out of that division, right? Out of the NFC North. Yeah. So it should be equal, but they got it wrong. They got the two worst teams, Cleveland and Pittsburgh, at home. You could beat Cleveland in Cleveland, and you could really probably beat Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh, even though I know that's not an easy place to play. You don't want those games at home. You want Cincinnati and Baltimore at home, but they got Cincinnati and Baltimore on the road. Same thing. They got Kansas City on the road. They play the NFC East this year. The two easy teams, Giants and Dallas, they got those games at home. You could win in Dallas. You could win in New York. You play those teams on the moon. You don't want those to be your home games. You want the Philadelphia and Washington games to be the home games, but they're not for Dallas or for Detroit. They're the road games. So they got everything, you know, kind of backwards this year. And you think about who they're playing and where they're playing, teams that you're going to be, you know, challenging for number one or number two seeds. Philadelphia on the road, LA Rams on the road, Washington Commanders on the road. You know, chances are you're going to lose those games. So when it comes playoff seeding time, you know, you might only get one home game if you're Detroit, if you lose those games. So that's how you got to kind of fast forward these things. You know, how is it all going to kind of play, you know, fill itself out? And Detroit's going to be good. Philadelphia's going to be good. You got to win those games in the regular season. Otherwise, you're going to be facing two really good teams on the road. And that's why I don't like Detroit. I don't think they do win those games.
And just to say, Scott, because of those road discrepancies, the Lions have a better price to win the NFC North, NFC, and Super Bowl, and a higher win total than their divisional mate in Green Bay. But where do the Lions start the year? Week number one, Sunday, September 7th, on the road at Lambeau. Where does the line right now? Small, only a 1.5-point spread in favor of Green Bay, but it's in favor of Green Bay, a minus 116 money line price in favor of the Pack. You look at the first six games for Detroit. Road game at Green Bay, home against Chicago, road at Baltimore, home against Cleveland, road at Cincy, road at Kansas City. I mean, it is a grueling slate for the Lions, and you're trying to win a division, of course, to host a playoff game. And then in comparison to the standings around your conference, you're trying to control your fate with home field advantage throughout the entirety of the postseason. Might be tough for Detroit this time around. Could be tough for the Eagles as well. Again, Scott, minus 135, the price on Philadelphia to win the NFC East. But as you have long shared, nobody has been a repeat divisional champion within the NFC East since the Birds won four straight from 2001 to 2004. Could find some value on the Commanders. Heck, maybe even the Cowboys get back to the standard of at least regular season success in Dallas. But it's no guarantee, at least based on this long-standing trend that is now more than two decades. You can't really call a coincidence any longer that the Eagles win the NFC East in a second consecutive year.
I mean, it really is amazing when you think. I mean, we're not talking about, you know, 10-team divisions here. We're talking about 14 divisions where you wouldn't think you'd have that kind of discrepancy. I mean, nobody back-to-back, but no, right? So I don't know if I'd be willing to bet on any of the other teams. But I know I wouldn't be betting Philadelphia. I'm not going to bet against that trend. That's for darn sure. I either don't play it or you know, leave it alone. Leave it alone or play Washington. That would be my other, you know, if I wasn't going to go with Philadelphia, which I'm not, then it would be Washington. Let's buy into the Commanders to upset the apple cart and be the new team this year. But that is an amazing stat. That's kind of funny.
Yeah, it is insane. And don't forget, there was some conversation around playoff seeding and structure at the owners' meetings throughout the offseason. And of course, you have to win a division to even be one of those top four seeds. As we saw last year, Detroit was 15-2, the Vikings 14-3, but Minnesota wasn't the two seed alongside the Eagles, who also had 14 wins over the three seed. They were that five seed. So just know, even if you're a really good team, but you falter in your division and you have to be a wild card team, you're going to be 5-7 playing on the road the entirety of what that playoff run would be. Very different story, though, Scott, in the AFC. Buffalo Bills, a co-favorite to win the conference championship alongside the Ravens, both at plus 360. But where Buffalo has a better price than Baltimore is to be the one seed in the AFC. Why? The Bills have one of the easier schedules in the NFL and are expected to run roughshod over the AFC East for a sixth consecutive year. Buffalo minus 260 to win that division for a sixth straight year, the best price of any team to win any of the eight divisions around the NFL. And Scott, the Bills win total at 11.5 with some pretty hefty juice around minus 160, minus 165 on the over. The Bills are expected to have that best record in the AFC. And of course, being in that position, it's a pretty good time for Buffalo to try to change what has been their kryptonite in the postseason, getting past Kansas City, getting past an AFC championship game and getting back to a Super Bowl appearance for the first time in more than three decades.
Yeah, they're the antithesis of the Detroit Lions, right? Everything I just said about the Detroit Lions for Buffalo, Ben, is just the opposite. Baltimore, tough game at home. Kansas City, tough game at home. Philadelphia, tough game at home. Cincinnati, tough game at home. So they have a first place schedule, but at least, unlike with Detroit, like I said, they have all those tough games. They're all at home. And you know, that's a huge, even Tampa Bay at home. So when it comes to end of the year, if they happen to be tied, you think you win some of those, if not most of those games, you get the head to head tiebreaker. Mm-hmm. So the path is there for Buffalo, but you know, we kind of say this about Baltimore and Lamar Jackson, right? If they don't do it this year, when are they ever going to do it? The division is as bad as it's ever been. You know, even if you believe in the Dolphins, as I am a Dolphin fan, it's still a bad division with the Jets and Patriots, right? The schedule works itself out. Kansas City's maybe a little down. But I'm still buy into, until you do it, I'm not going to believe it. So I'm not buying into Buffalo again.
I have to agree, Scott. Again, the main thing as well as you discuss the Ravens and the Bills, it's not as though both of these teams have had their postseason struggles, but here comes this up-and-coming Patrick Mahomes, who they have never played in the postseason. The Ravens and the Bills have had multiple shots at Patrick Mahomes and Kansas City, specifically Buffalo, who has been ousted by the Chiefs for the five consecutive years. They have won the AFC East. So until I see it, I cannot bet it. Would I be stunned if the Bills did finally get the better of KC? No. Would I be stunned if the Ravens finally got the best of Lamar Jackson in the postseason? No. But until I see it, that's my concern. We'll tidy up that conversation on the other side here on Sports Grid Radio.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. He is Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens. Scott, we were just discussing the AFC in the path this year for two teams booked as co-favorites in front of a Kansas City team that might not be the reigning Super Bowl champions for the first time since the beginning of 2023, but are, or since the beginning of 2022, I should say, but are the reigning AFC champions once again. Buffalo and Baltimore have had their opportunities in the AFC postseason to change the narratives around their franchises that follow them here into another year of optimism in 2025. Buffalo is a favorite to be the one seed in the AFC, but the Bills have been the one seed in the AFC. They have had a home field advantage against the Chiefs in times past, like 2023. They got ousted in the divisional round. The year prior in the divisional round against the Bengals, they had home field advantage in snowy Western New York and lost that game to Joe Burrow and Cincy. Last year, another shot against Kansas City, albeit in Arrowhead, in the AFC Championship game and came up short. The Baltimore Ravens, Lamar Jackson, has a 3-5 career playoff record. He is only one man who can only do so much for the entirety of a football game. But Scott, there's no doubt that Lamar Jackson, despite all of his success, two MVP awards. Last year, probably his best statistical season, even though he was not named an MVP for a second consecutive year, has not performed to that threshold in the playoffs. They had the Bills last year. Multiple turnovers by Lamar Jackson. Sure, we think about the drop from Mark Andrews, but not a great game out of Lamar. The year prior, Baltimore was the one seed in the AFC. They had the Chiefs at home in the AFC Championship game as a 4.5-point favorite. Lamar, a costly interception late, and the Baltimore Ravens faltered. So it's tough for me, Scott, then to say to people here, I would bet the Bills or the Ravens to unseat the Chiefs this year when I have seen often and multiple times in the last few years that simply not be the case.
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, if I had to bet one, I'm betting Kansas City. I just am. Yeah. The question, though, Ben, is if you could only choose one between Buffalo and Baltimore, which one would it be? You know, and I've gone through that in my brain, and it's like, you know, both have had head coaching blunders. Both have had, you know, obviously good quarterbacks. I think, you know, both have had decent teams. I think the Baltimore teams have been a little bit better, and it's Lamar choking or Baltimore choking, if you don't want to put it all in his lap. So does that mean that that's going to change? You know, does he get used to being in the postseason? Does he finally, you know, overcome the nerves or whatever happens to him in the postseason? Or do you go with Buffalo, which just seems to have all the bad breaks in the world? I mean, you can't hold the lead with 17 seconds left. You got a tight end that drops the football. I mean, you got so many things with Buffalo. Does that change, or is it just bad karma? And once you have bad karma, that's never going to change. So, you know, that's the – I guess if I had to choose one between the two, I'd probably take – Buffalo, just because of their schedule being a little bit easier. You know, if you can beat Baltimore to start the season, you hold the head-to-head tiebreaker, so it's like a game and a half lead over the Ravens. And I would take my – not that they won't, you know, and can't lose at home in the postseason. They've done that before. But because of that, if I had to choose one of the two, I think I'd have a little bit more faith in Buffalo, even though I think the team – I think Baltimore has the better of the two teams, to tell you the truth.
Yeah. Completely agree, Scott. I think you summed it up very well. More talented, top to bottom, offense, defense. I would look at the Baltimore Ravens. Better path, better playoff picture, more than likely, at least based on our projections. The Buffalo Bills, who play in the much easier division, have the much easier schedule, and have, as we would say, the much easier path to being that one seed and having that home field advantage around the AFC postseason. That will be a critical game. Night number one, that first Sunday of the year, Sunday night football in Buffalo in Orchard Park between the Bills and the Ravens. Buffalo, an ever so slight favorite, 1.5 points, -116 money line. But Scott, I also think that speaks to the point that you just brought up. In terms of power ratings, Baltimore better, despite being a slight underdog with the home field advantage for Buffalo probably being worth 2, 2.5, maybe even 3 points. For the Ravens to only be off by 14 cents on the money line, I think we're looking at a Ravens team that would be higher rated from the odds algorithm in terms of talent and projection than that of Buffalo.
Yeah, I think if this was a home game for Baltimore, they're telling you they would be, I would think, a solid three, you know, I don't know about 3.5, but they would be a solid 3-point home favorite. That's what I'm guessing. So.
Yeah, I think that full field goal would certainly be there. The additional hook makes it seem more drastic in the NFL, but I would think at least 3 in favor of the Ravens. And again, that game could have consequences in terms of the direct head-to-head tiebreaker if we got down to the point of comparing these two resumes and records for that number one seed in the AFC. I would pick Buffalo to be back there with a chance against Patrick Mahomes. Right now, Scott, there's only one quarterback active in the AFC that has beaten Patrick Mahomes in the postseason, and that's Joe Burrow. Heck, there's only 2 active quarterbacks in all the NFL that have beaten Patrick Mahomes in the postseason. Jalen Hurts last year in the Super Bowl and Burrow in the 2021 AFC Championship game. It is crazy to say, but that is how stellar Mahomes' postseason resume has been. The other guy to beat him twice was Tom Brady with the Buccaneers, once in a Super Bowl in Tampa, once in his first AFC Championship game as that starter for KC as the quarterback of the Patriots. That's it. That's the only blemishes on the resume for Patrick Mahomes.
It's amazing. And this guy's been in the league now a long time. It's not like he's been in the league just a couple of years now. I mean, it just goes to show how good they really, really are. And I don't, maybe they use that on the chip of their shoulder. You know, you got to have some selling point that, like, the lack of respect. No one's, you know, counting us. It's all Buffalo, all Baltimore. Maybe that's what the, you know, Kansas City needs versus having the hangover from the Super Bowl. Maybe that's what, you know, Andy Reid will inspire into these guys of this, you know, we got to win because everyone's doubting us. I would, in fact, you know what? I won't even say it. I don't even question it. I, without a shadow of a doubt, I could see and hear Travis Kelce right now talking about stuff like that. He would be the one. Yeah. Everyone's doubting us. Go ahead, doubt us. Go ahead. We're going to be back in the AFC Championship game, if not the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's 40 cents, right? It's +360 for both Buffalo and Baltimore and 4-1 price on KC. But it is there, right? And it wouldn't be the most outlandish thing for them to say these two teams that we continue to whack in the playoffs have a better outlook than we do. More on Football Full Circle up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
21 plus terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. Scott, as we shared earlier in the day, earlier this week, the 2 days of Big 12 Media Days underway for its second in Frisco, Texas at the practice home of the Dallas Cowboys. Yesterday, a lot was said by Big 12 Commissioner Brett Yormark. We had the reigning Big 12 champs in Arizona State and their head coach, Kenny Dillingham, talking about the current state of college football. Heck, new head coach, old head coach at UCF, Scott Frost, was asked about his days coaching his alma mater in Nebraska, had some choice words for saying, don't take the wrong job. All interesting comments anytime you put a microphone in front of a conference commissioner or a head coach in college football. But of course, Scott, one of the main components, basically each and every media day now at any of our leagues, certainly at the power conference level, is all the changes that we see unfold each and every summer before our very eyes. Expansion of the college football playoff, conference realignment continuing, and now where things stand, NIL and rev share, revenue sharing directly with student athletes for the first time in collegiate history, starting just over a week ago on July 1st. And a lot of the conversations got around that revenue sharing policy and all the changes we thought would go into effect on July 1st are confusion and people basically saying what was described as the wild, wild west, believe me, still is very, very wild.
It is. And that's, you know, to a man, that's what all the head coaches were saying with the portion I saw when they were in a little round table there. You know, they all wanted conformity. They all wanted all the teams and the schools to buy in, get a salary cap, set the basic mantra was set the rules, whatever the rules there are to set, set right. them this way we all can play in a level playing field. But I think we're a long ways away from having that happen. College football is still in the middle of this flux where who knows who's going left, right, in the middle. You got a salary cap, but that doesn't include the NIL money from outside the salary cap. If you read the fine print on that, yeah, they have a salary cap, but that doesn't stop the players from getting their own deals. That's just the salary cap from what the colleges can give them. So there really is no, in essence, salary cap then. So you're back to cheating again. You're back to paying guys not necessarily under the table because it's legal, but okay, pick a school. Alabama's going to have a $20 million salary cap. Well, that doesn't stop Florida from having a $20 million salary cap, but go getting $20 more million from the sponsors to pay the kids directly. So the whole thing is just like crazy. The coaches want, but like I said, I think we're a long, long ways away from really getting uniformity on all this stuff.
Yeah, Scott, really well summed up. That has been the main thing that every coach, whether it was Cincy, Scott Satterfield, ASU's Kenny Dillingham, BYU's Kalani Sitake, whoever was up there, Joey McGuire and Texas Tech, who have been the big spenders. They are hoping for that even playing surface. They are hoping for uniformity, or I would think, Scott, just basic understanding of the reality of the situation of which they are in. To Scott's point, he is spot on. The rev share salary cap is estimated around $20.5 million for every Division I school to take a part of. That will be tougher for some athletic departments to qualify, but for the biggest spenders, they can get that. That is the cap of what is legally allowed by the settlement, of course, the NCAA versus House legislation. Any of the outstanding NIL deals or those NIL deals offered from a third party, which includes those booster collectives, have to go through an NIL clearinghouse, which is run by Deloitte. But the clearinghouse, as of this moment, is yet to be operational because the plaintiff attorneys for the house in that settlement are still going over some legalese that need to be decided that basically will allow the clearinghouse to understand what is right and what is wrong. And Scott, it does not deal with any of the previous NIL deals. So schools like Texas Tech and plenty others front-loaded their rosters in the spring with all the NIL money, winter and spring transfer portals to bring everybody in, paying a crap ton of $1 million up front, knowing that those NIL deals might not continue beyond this year, but they're loaded for this year and maybe beyond. Again, the wild, wild west remains, and any of the confusion we thought would happen has maybe increased tenfold.
Yeah, amazing. I mean, this is not what they thought, I don't think, anyway, when they said, okay, image and likeness, with that lawsuit from UCLA. This is not... I tell you what, the only thing is, I'm just happy we don't have to talk about Cam Rising in Utah. I think, Ben, he's officially out of college. I think he's officially out of college. He is, thank God, because he's been around for like 20 years.
He is, yes. His head coach, Kyle Whittingham, goes in on year number 21, new quarterback for the Utes and Devin Dampier. He is Scott Wetzel. I'm Ben Stevens. Football Full Circle returns tomorrow, noon Eastern time on Sports Grid Radio.
Step into the world of power, loyalty,
and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No